Welcome to the JCI Atlanta podcast series, featuring many of Atlanta's top executives and entrepreneurs. For information on future speakers and podcasts, please visit our website at www.jciatlanta.org. JCI Atlanta is an organization of young professionals in the Atlanta metro area with the purpose of training and developing the young leaders of tomorrow. We hope you enjoy this speech by Lee Torrance, IBM Managing Director and Senior State Executive.
First of all, you'll decide whether I'm a wonderful speaker or not, and actually I have no speech prepared. I thought this was a social event that I was coming to. What a day in the market, huh? You know, if you don't believe that the world is flat and we live in a global economy, think again. We have a, I won't say a burp, it was more like a crash coming out of China. The Shanghai index goes down by about 8.8% today. For a 10-year low. I've looked through, and I know some of you could stand up and tell this story better than I can, being with Merrill Lynch and some of the other investment firms. But we just had a cascading effect. The Toronto stock market goes down. The Dow goes down 419 points. And I'm going to come back and talk just a little bit about just how very interconnected we are. But let me just step back, and let's see if this will work this time, because I feel like I'm stuck in cement here. Okay. Again, my name is Lee Torrance. I think it's important to know just a little bit about not what it is that I do or just what it is that I do, but maybe a little bit about who it is that that I am. We tend to sort of compartmentalize that. You know, this is what I do, but this is who it is that I am. I'm a resident, obviously, here of Atlanta. I've been here for about 20 years. Been married to Bobby Carroll for 25 of those years. It took me 5 years to come to that decision point. So we've known each other for about 30. We've got two sons, 24 and 20, both of here whom live here in Atlanta. I've worked for IBM for, let's say, just keep it at more than 30 years now. So I'm twice the age of most of you in this room. I think I'm probably most defined by my faith. It certainly shapes who it is that I am, what it is that I believe, and the principles and values that I try to live out every day more than anything else. I believe that we have got a responsibility to give back. I don't care how fortunate it is that you are or how unfortunate you are. I think community is something that we all are a part of, but have a responsibility for. And I sort of look at it like a brick wall, if you will, because if you looked at the old cities, everybody had a responsibility for taking care of their piece of the wall. And I think we've all got a piece, and here we are more fortunate than anybody else. So I do not nearly as much as I should, but a lot here in the city. My personal passion is with youth. Because I think that if we can, in fact, impact what it is that youth are doing, we can probably do more than anything else to shape not just the generation that's coming, but really the civilization. So I'm involved in mentoring. For the 20 years that I've been here, we have always had a school that literally we have adopted and taken responsibility, not just for the beautification of it, but also for sort of shaping the lives of both the children and the parents that were associated with that school. The other passion I have happens to be with the homeless. I sit here on the board for United Way and was involved with the Gateway Center, which was a collaborative effort between United Way, the City of Atlanta, and Hart Sibley, who did just an outstanding job of getting that off the ground, because Mayor Shirley Franklin has got a vision to end homelessness in the next decade here in the city of Atlanta, and I think that's one that we can all support. Relative to what it is that I do professionally, hopefully less and less every day. I'm responsible overall for the global relationship that IBM has with UPS, and that's the managing director piece. And then I also, I'm the senior state executive for IBM in Georgia, and as Mike had mentioned, therefore have got oversight, if you will, for the 7,000 plus employees we have here, and the face of IBM to the business community. So I mentioned I sit on the board for the United Way. I also sit on the executive board for the chamber here, the partnership executive for Morehouse College, coordinate all of our volunteer activities and support the city as well as the state with my partner, who many of you know if you're working here in the community, Ann Kramer, who is the National Director for Community Relations. And I see someone in here shaking their head. Many people believe that cloning started when you heard about it about 7 years ago. Actually, it started about 20 years ago, because of those of you who've worked with Ann Kramer know there can't possibly be just one Ann Kramer. One person can't be in that many places all at the same time. So we've cloned Ann, and there are actually 34 of her spread throughout the Atlanta metro area, and that's why she's able to do as many things as she does. Day to day, what I'm doing is setting the vision, if you will, for what it is that we should engage IBM in this community, and how do we, in fact, make our presence known. That's really it. I mean, we've got a long tradition of not just living, not just working, but frankly belonging and supporting the communities that we are a part of. And that's what it is that we're trying to do. In my responsibilities as managing director, frankly, the task there is very, very simple. It is to support one of our very largest clients in the successful execution of their strategic vision through the leverage of technology and also, obviously, thought leadership. I think that there are a couple of things that I would touch upon that are critically important as we look at what are the critical success factors going forward. I had an opportunity to speak to a couple of you before starting, and my remarks are going to be short because I want to open it up for questions. I don't want to be so presumptuous as to think that I know what's really on all of your minds. But somebody asked me, said, well, look, if I was listening to you, the thing I'd want to know is what would you do if you were sitting here 25 years ago? Well, first of all, I won't look at that person now, but thank you for that diss that you gave me to say that I'm 25 years older than you. I really appreciate that. I'll be 55 in November, so I am at least 25 years old of most of you sitting here. But if there was one thing that I would do in looking back, sitting where you're sitting, and I tell my sons this, I would have dreamt bigger dreams. I would have placed fewer limitations upon myself. It's first and foremost. Second of all, I would have taken and developed a life plan the way I have an account plan every year I've been managing a customer. I would have developed a life plan the same way I developed a business plan for every business unit or responsibility I've had in IBM. Over the 30 years that I've been with IBM, I started out as a salesman. I went from there to be a sales instructor. I then went to the West Coast and was a sales manager, came back to Atlanta and ran a national marketing program, left there and was the assistant to the president, came back and was a branch manager in Atlanta, and then became a managing director, and senior state executive about 3 years ago. In none of those jobs did I sort of just show up every day and say, let me just see what happens. Let me just go with the flow. Let me see which way it takes me. I went in and I had a vision, sometimes one that was handed to me. I had a mission. I had some goals. But I also had some action steps that I took. I can't believe the number of people that I mentor, and it's probably about 35, that, and when I initially meet to them and I ask them, can you show me your life strategy or your life plan, they look at me like I've got two heads. Why? Because, you know, behind New Year's resolutions, I've only found one person that has a life plan. So what is a life plan? A life plan is taking company and going to the end and then coming back to the beginning and saying, let me start with my obituary. Pretty gruesome, but if you ever read them, you see people, many of them, accomplish an awful lot. Most importantly, they touch a lot of lives. But it's the going to the end and saying, if I've got a life expectancy of 75, what is it I want to do before I leave the planet? And then coming back and putting plans in place. And it may be a 10-year travel plan. It may be a financial plan. It may be a spiritual growth plan. It may be a reading plan. It may be a professional plan. But whatever it happens to be, putting it down in writing and saying, this is what it is that ideally I'd like to go out and try to accomplish. That's probably the thing that I would have done a lot sooner if I were to come back and be where it is that you are. The other thing that I think that I would have changed much sooner in my professional and personal life is to have become a lot more collaborative. When I look at your mission statement, it says that what you do, three things to impact the community here. You have networking events, you do leadership, and you also have community activity, right? Collaboration, we did a study, and what we found out was that we went out and looked at 750 CEOs from profit and nonprofit corporations, and what we found is that one of the critical success factors going forward is going to be collaboration. It's collaborative influence. It's not how well you do what it is that you do, but how well you do what it is that you do with others. So networking becomes, you know, it's sort of networking on steroids, if you will. It's understanding what it is that your mission is and how do I fit into the mission of others and how does their mission fit into me. And the reason that becomes so very important because the first thing we found out was that there was this shift going on relative to business models. Innovation, you see, is in everything. Everybody's got innovation in their tagline, which is more than invention. It's really insight into what's there. But more important than maybe even innovation is how do I deliver what it is that I happen to be delivering? It's not so much about the product as it is about the business model itself. Maybe one of the best examples is the Apple iPod. How many people have one? You know, almost 100% of the room. It's not about the technology of the iPod, it's the fact that they have gotten us all to download over a billion of those songs that are 99 cents a piece, right? It's the inverse of the business model that was there. It's the collaboration between how they're delivering the service, but also the technology of the service itself. Anybody watch American Idol? I know, I wouldn't admit it either, personally. I personally don't, but I was talking to somebody just this week and find out that people are calling in on their cell phones to vote. $46 million per episode is the estimated number in revenue sharing between Sprint and American Idol. Whole new business model that's there. You got a company here that's a legend, Tom Noonan, anybody from Georgia Tech, and Klaus, ISS, Internet Security Systems. IBM just bought them last year for $1.7 billion. Two guys started the company at their grandmother's kitchen table, Chris did, along with Tom Noonan. What is it? It's security as a service. So we've got to start to think about not just what it is that we do, but how it is that we do it and who it is that we do it with. That's this whole piece of collaboration. I was talking a little bit with Garrett about Hero and just the ideas that started to come into how many people are interested in AIDS. Lots. I haven't talked to anybody, though, that's got the take on it that his organization does, and that is looking at the impact relative to the quality of life, specifically for children. So how does he become attached? And I started to talk about to other people that I knew were collaborating in that area, and many of those he's already touched. So the other thing I think that I would look back and do is to look more closely at who it is that I'm collaborating with, because ultimately we're going to become who it is that we surround ourselves with, right? My question would be, who's in your circle that represents where it is that you're going or what it is that you're building or what it is that you are in fact trying to do? Let me touch, and then I'm just want to open it up for questions, this whole piece about collaboration. I had told Mike, and he's heard me say it before, you know, I sent my sons an email, and I told him, I said, look, if you read one book this year, and this was actually over a year ago, You got to read this book, The World is Flat. Anybody in here read that? Okay, those of you looking at me like, this guy is really dull. Why? That's the have you seen this thing? It's like this thick. It's by a New York Times columnist, political columnist at that. Why in the world would I want to read that? The reason why I think you want to read that is because, I mean, this guy had a revelation, but it's already happened, and that is that the world really is flat. The playing field is leveled as a result of, and I know you're going to all run out and read it, so I don't want to spoil it for you by telling you what it's about, because you will enjoy all 700 plus pages of it. But he talks about these 10 technological changes that literally just open up the landscape in terms of international competition. I'll just give you one. I mean, with the dot-com boom and then subsequent bust, you had $1 trillion invested in telecommunications. As a result of telecommunications, what you've got is now not just ubiquity, but you've got cheap telecommunications in a ubiquitous manner, whereby everybody communicate. And I mean, you take it for granted, as frankly my sons do. I mean, but there really used to be a time when you did not go to a computer and buy a movie ticket. Just trust me on that. You had to go out and buy a newspaper. You had to come back and open the newspaper and find out where the movie was playing. You had to actually go to the theater and purchase the ticket once you stood in line. So many things that we take for granted now, right? You could not be smart about everything because they didn't have cliff notes on everything. With Google, you can be smart about everything. All you got to do is Google it. And there is a white paper or whatever it is that you are looking for that's going to be there, right? Well, what does this have to do with you? What this has to do with you is the fact that whatever profession you happen to be in or, you know, whatever organization you're running, it's not another organization that you're competing with in Atlanta. It's not just the individual that's sitting down the hall from you in the cubicle next to you at work. You're competing with the global community who, oh, by the way, now is competing for global talent. I mean, you look at what it is that, as an example in my industry, Infosys has done in India, just absolutely amazing. I mean, we're just not on the charts anymore relative to education. Just not on the charts. We're not competing globally as a result. And more we're going to see this interconnectivity in terms of what's playing out in the global landscape. If that is going to start to affect us some ways very positively, some ways very negatively, I think it would behoove us all at least to be cognizant of it and then to become a lot more aware of the cultures that we're interacting with on a daily basis, because that's just going to increase more and more. You go back and look at what happened in the markets today, it's absolutely amazing. China, Toronto, the U.S., around the world. You started a shift here, came all the way through. And more, you're going to see that happening. Same thing is happening in terms of technology. Same thing is happening in terms of business startups. And what you've got, which is an incredible opportunity for you, is entrepreneurship that is absolutely unbounded. So with that, let me just stop, because I've said probably nothing that you were interested in, and take a few minutes to talk about what you may be interested in or answer any questions that that you have.
And let me start with the first question. You've talked about globalization for us. What do you see as the future of Atlanta? Wow. Kind of bringing it back a little bit.
Okay. I think Atlanta will become, first of all, there are a couple of things happening demographically. You are finding as a city, I don't know if you saw the special in terms of, I'm trying to think on what station it was, but anyway, your demographic, that is 25 to 40, is finding Atlanta increasingly more attractive. In fact, we are attracting this age group at a much faster rate than our other cities like Boston and New York, right? So its vibrancy is certainly going to increase. You will certainly see it become more and more diverse. You're already starting to see the entrepreneurship. I mean, we're becoming a center for software development with ISS and others in terms of security. You see what's happening in terms of music. The Hip Hop Awards were held here, I think, last year, right? It's becoming known as a music center, if you will. You're also seeing that we're starting to develop much more of a city presence. Atlantic Station, great example of innovation where someone saw through a problem and said, I don't see a poison piece of land. What I see is a vibrant live-work area for, frankly, many of you, as well as what are going to be the empty nesters going forward. So I believe Atlanta will just continue to grow as a city. I think that it will continue to evolve relative to sophistication. It's the birthplace of civil rights and therefore has a tremendous history and heritage here. You've got what it is that Carter has done relative to the Carter Center, and it's just going to continue, I think, to rise in terms of its stature and popularity as a city going forward.
Hello. You spoke of doing a life plan, which I completely agree with. When did you realize, how did you realize it, and what did you do about it, or is it just retrospect?
No, I had this happened actually, and I've got to count the number of years. I've been here for 20. I was there for 28 years ago, and I remember because I got my first manager's job, and in my first management position when IBM was managing everything in the West, what was called the East Bay, outside except the city of San Francisco. So I had Oakland, Alameda, Walnut Creek, for those of you that are familiar with that, a huge territory, right? And I was going to have an account planning session for my team. Well, one of the sales reps came to me and said, Lee, I'm going to be off this Friday and Monday. And his name was Bill. And he said, because we're doing our plan. And I look at this guy like, you've got it confused. The planning session is a week from now. And he says, no, Lee, I'm not talking about your planning session. I'm talking about mine and Karen's planning session. And I'm thinking, your wife is in my unit and I've not met her? I'm thinking this to myself. Fortunately, I did not ask that stupid question out loud. And he must have seen this puzzled look on my face. And he looks at me and says, no, Lee, we are going away to update our 5-year life plan. Of course you have one of these. And I'm like, yeah, I do. So I subsequently found out from him that he and his wife had sat down and put together this 5-year life plan. It covered everything from where they wanted to travel, what they wanted to save, what it is that they wanted to focus on in terms of reading, what books they wanted to read, what areas in terms of either spiritual character developed they wanted to focus on for a year and for 5 years, what relationships they wanted to invest in and grow and develop. And that's really where it started. He is now one of the principal landowners, because he got into investment property 28 years ago in Northern California. At that time, houses were $100,000. They are multiple millions now, all because he had a plan, right? So it's looking at those areas that you define as, if I were to look at my life holistically, here is what my life would consist of. It would consist of a professional work effort. It would consist of a physical effort, right, or physical focus. It would have a spiritual component. It would have a financial component. It would have an intellectual component. Where am I today? Where is it that I want to be? A year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, my best friend, which is really stretching it in my mind, he's now doing 20-year plans going up. So he's planning through himself to, this is what I want to do for my grandkids, right? Which is incredible. But again, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but you do it, every one of you, if you've got a job, you've got a business plan. You've got some form of performance plan that was handed to you. There is some way that your success is going to be measured at the end of this year. That's an imposed goal. Voluntarily, what are the goals that you've set for yourself? Most of the people in here, everybody looks fit and trim, healthy. You've got some sort of workout plan. You want to run so many times a week, or you want to get in the gym so many times, you want to do whatever, right? It's doing that in a structured fashion. It's what it's all about.
As small and medium or U.S.-based companies, what skills should we emphasize and learn to give us to compete with these foreign companies, or even give us an advantage in the future?
I come back to the things that we talked about, right? Innovation, first and foremost, is going to be a prerequisite for success, whether you're large or small. What is innovation? Innovation is really what happens at the intersection of invention and insight. Is there something in existence that I can either do better, or is there something that I can bring that does not exist today, right? And, you know, I don't know what your specific business is, or if we're talking about a specific industry, but that is going to be absolutely critical, because when we see companies that are coming to the forefront, that's what it is that they're bringing, is innovation. The second thing we see is just a depth of skill that is absolutely unprecedented. You know, when you start to understand what it is that the people in India do relative to competing to go to the best universities, you've got to be at the top of your game. So academic excellence, being a subject matter expert in what it is that you are focused on, I think is absolutely, without question, critical. The other thing I talked about earlier, this whole business model paradigm shift. Not just what it is that you produce, but how is it that you deliver it? How is it that you package it? You know, we were talking about the lady here who invented Spanx. You know, I think my wife is just insane to pay $25. What is this? But how did she start there? She started because she didn't have something, and my wife and I laughed about it, because she used to do it as well. With pants, she used to cut the feet off of her pantyhose because she didn't want a panty line when she had her pants on. This lady said, you know what, I'm doing that, a bunch of other women are doing that, and I'm going to go make a business of it. And she did. And obviously she's doing pretty well, because my understanding is she was on Oprah last week and gave her $1 million check, right? So that innovation, but also the business model now of how am I going to deliver this product. The other thing that I think we forget about in an age of high tech and high touch, relational skills are always going to be absolutely critical. Can you get along with other people? Do other people want to be around you, with you, work with you, right? Are you inspiring to yourself and to others? I mean, I think that is critically important. The other thing that I find much more so in Western culture than in Eastern culture is a willingness to serve. I can't tell you how many people I've seen in 30 plus years who come in and immediately want to be boss of something, as opposed to saying, what can I come in here and do? Right? I may not be able to run this, but you know what? I'm the best at doing this. And what I see in Western culture in particular is it's more than a humility, it is literally a willingness to serve. And here we think about that as being something that is puts you lower in terms of a caste system, if you will, or subservience, right? But the inverse is true. Now there's another book. I haven't read it. My son has read it. My wife is reading it. That's just been a phenomenal New York Times bestseller called The Secret. I don't know if anybody here has heard of it or has read it, but the principle of the book is that, you know, there's really no secret. I mean, you reap what it is that you sow. You attract what it is that you give out, right? I think the other defining for a business going forward is going to be customer service. Right. This whole thing of service. Think about how many places you eat, how many hotels you stay at, how many cleaners you go to where the service is just downright awful. Think about the places that you are loyal to. And I will bet you, at least for me it is, one of the reasons that I am is because of the quality of service that they provide. I don't know if that helps. Yeah. Not okay. Well, listen, thank you for the invitation to be here this evening. Truly, I am honestly humbled to have gotten the invitation. I looked at your mission statement. I looked at your board of directors. And I've had an opportunity to interact with a number of you when I got here earlier this evening. And you are, no question, the future going forward for the city of Atlanta. What it is that you do and accomplish will really answer the question that Mike asked, and that is, what will Atlanta be like going forward in the future? Atlanta will be, as a business, the Atlanta community, in terms of how it's cared for, how it's thought of, it's going to be what it is that you ultimately contribute and make it to be. So thank you very much, and I've enjoyed it. Thank you, Mike.